So I'm really hoping that some of you remember a long, long time ago when there were only four channels on television. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. It makes me feel better. Because in that ancient time, the Ten Commandments came on every year. And we would gather in the den with blankets and big bowls of popcorn to watch this epic film by Cecil B. DeMille. My very favorite part was when Moses, played by a young and handsome Charlton Heston, went to Mount Sinai to receive the word of God. A fearsome, fiery finger appeared from the sky, carving out two tablets and inscribing them with 10 rules for the Israelites below. The special effects in the 1950s when the movie was made were mind-blowing. And still, they were pretty cool in the 70s when we sat with our mouths agape and our eyes wide open as we watched the sparks of God burn through sheer rock. My grandmother had the ancient laws cross-stitched onto two pillows in her living room, and my brother and I used them as props when we reenacted our own Ten Commandments movie. And we used a white kitchen apron as a beard. And I added my own laws that I would decree to my brother, "Thou shalt not touch my Barbies." So, to put our Old Testament reading today in context, as Moses, the real one, not Charlton, was on his way down from the mountain, the Israelites, waiting at the bottom, were getting restless. They had been yearning for food and water and some sign that God loved them out there in that vast desert. Not that being freed from slavery or having a sea parted for them or their enemies drowned or literally food falling from the sky and water coming from a rock was enough. Moses comes down from Sinai and he brings with him 10 basic rules to live by, given by God, that if adhered to, could bring peace and harmony to all. These laws did not represent a yoke of slavery under which the people of God were to live, but a system of promises to make life more free. But law and freedom have always been hard concepts for humans to master, especially postmodern, post-Enlightenment, individualistic Americans. Just a few months ago, a guy in Arkansas drove his truck into a 6-foot-tall monument of the Ten Commandments at the Arkansas Capitol in Little Rock, less than a day after the stone statue had been erected. He screamed the word freedom as his vehicle struck the monument, breaking it into pieces. Evangelical Christians had raised over $26,000 for the colossal concrete representation of God's laws, saying that they believed that they had the right to display them at the state institution because everyone needed to follow the rules of God. The guy who knocked them down was another professed Christian, and he disagreed, believing that the state should not impose a preference of one religion over another. Did he have the right to do that in a country that holds freedom above everything else? Did the evangelicals have a right to put the Ten Commandments on the state property in the first place? When God gave freedom to the people of God and then laws to help them stay free and safe, he enacted a plan for us, not the kind of plan that you hear from TV evangelists, not a plan for every detail of our lives, but a simple track. Jesus, a devout follower of Torah, made it very clear that he was all about the laws of God. But when asked which one was the most important, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. The Apostle Paul goes on to say to the Galatians, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself." He also says that for freedom, Christ set us free. So we are called by God to stand firm and not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We are called to freedom, not to use it as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but for love for one another. Freedom in Christ and freedom in a Christian context is a corporate notion. It's not rights for select individuals. Making freedom work for some means limiting ourselves sometimes, although that's contrary to what most of society tells us, right? In our land of the free, we are bombarded with messages about what we want and need from endless commercials, celebrities, politicians, entertainers, and lobbyists. We become enslaved by the machine of our society, yoked to things that we want, caged by consumerism, forgetting that the key to that cage, to freedom, is the one simple truth, and that is putting ourselves aside for the other's sake. We also become enslaved by the idea, for the American idea of freedom, as personal rights, to do this or to bear that. But our Christian teachings tell us that freedom is not about rights. As we reel in the wake of the recent mass shooting in Las Vegas just 1 week ago today, we desperately struggle to make sense of the senseless. There have been more than 1,000 people killed or injured in mass shootings in America, home of the free, just this year alone. And as our country debates the respectful way to regard the national anthem and the Second Amendment, and whether we do or don't need bump stocks for our automatic weapons, we need to also deeply consider what law and freedom really means to us as Christians. What laws are the most important to us? The ones instituted by God to love one another? Or laws made by men, paid for by financial interests? Is freedom the absence of tyranny, the right to access certain things, or being free from sin and death as given to us by our risen Lord? What freedom do we hold the most dear? Our personal rights or the freedom to serve Christ and serve our neighbors? Eleanor Roosevelt famously said, "Freedom makes a huge requirement of every human being. With freedom comes responsibility." And as a Christian, I would go a step further and say that that responsibility is our love of God and of each other. With a heart filled with Jesus is not a chore, and it's not legalistic or a right, but it's pure, light-filled joy. Amen.